Podcast Dojo, episode number 3.
Master the art of the podcast. It's Podcast Dojo!
Dojo. I am your host, Brian, and each week I come together and sit down in front of this wonderful mic and talk to you and kind of explain what's happening in the world of podcasting. Basically, this is a podcast about podcasting. I want you to find out the best way to master that art, that fine art, that incredible art known as podcasting. And that's what I like to do. I like to podcast, hence the reason why I'm sitting here in front of this microphone recorder and little mixer and a laptop wanting to talk podcasting. And so that's what we're doing. And right now, as an introduction, I wanted to get the very basics, you know, kind of kicked in the teeth out of the way so we can get to the really, really fun stuff in the episodes down the road. And so we're kind of talking, we're covering the basics. We talked about finding your passion. We talked about where do you get the ability to really know what the topic is, what do you really, 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 really want to talk about? What is that thing that when somebody mentions it, you just go, ooh, ooh, and I know all sorts of stuff about it. And you get to yabbering and talking and chattering away like a monkey in a tree. And before you know it, 3 hours gone by and you still have tons of information you want to share with somebody. Well, that's what it is like with podcasting for me. And I have a feeling it is with you too. And so we've gotten the passion. You figured out what your passion is. So you've got your topic. Now it's time to sit down and what do you do next? Any idea? Well, I got some great help. We've got to do the scary step now. And honestly, the scariest part for me, and it may just be because I am a cheapskate. I admit that I am a skinflint in every sense of the word. Well, except that my skin isn't made of flint, but still, that's neither here nor there. I don't like to spend money, or I like to only spend if I have to spend money, as little as possible. And hosting is one of those places where you hear and you go and look and you're like, oh my God, it's all sorts of expensive. Well, yeah, it can be. I will let you know, hosting can be incredibly expensive. The going through doing, you know, getting your domain name, not nearly as expensive as you think. $12 for a year. Wow. That's pocket change. And so if you look at that and then you try to compare it up to your typical hosting fees, you can get hosting fees for like $8 a month. Really not much. $10 a month. There's some little gimmicks into it. I'll be upfront with you. When you go to order, if you want to get that $8 a month, 9 times out of 10, you have to order 1 to 2 year chunks at a time. Okay. Now that's where it gets a little bit in the high range where you're going, that's $120 if it's $10 a month for a year. And you're like, well, good job. You can do math. And I agree. That's a lot of money to just be going, all right, well, we can do that. But the fact of it is that you can actually, if you sit down and each month take $10, put it in an envelope and just write hosting fee on there. And each time you have once a month, as long as you have 10 extra dollars, throw it in there and just keep it in that envelope. Put the envelope inside of a book someplace, a book that you normally, you know, you can remember which book you put it into. Don't forget the book. And you will then, by the end of the year, you would have enough money to for the next run. Now, it does take a little bit of discipline to go, oh, we're short of money a little bit. I'll just dip into the hosting fund. No, that's for the hosting fund and the hosting fund only. All right. So you don't want to go any further, but you can get the hosting and it's not that expensive. Now you hear people talk about, well, the affiliate is to help me with hosting fund. Well, you know, there are particular hosting plans that are a lot more expensive than others. And we're going to talk about those. We're going to talk about the different types of hosting. What is web hosting versus media hosting, and why do we need both? You don't fully have to have both. I'll just tell you that right now. But you really, really want to have both. Now, we'll go ahead. Let's start off. In our world of hosting, there are four different types of host plans you can get. All right. There's the one everybody uses, and that is called shared hosting. What shared hosting is basically look at your computer. All right. And that computer, poof, right there. That can be used as a server. Okay. Now you're hiring somebody to have a computer that's got a very large hard drive on it. Now you may have a 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte hard drive. You may have, you know, a whole RAID of terabyte set up, which, I mean, if you know what a RAID is, then thumbs up for you. If you don't, sorry, I would explain it, but basically it's a way of making the computer think that it has a great big, humongous hard drive is one way of looking at it. So, basically, that would be a server. Now, what a shared host does is you take you take 100 of your friends and you give them a folder and say, that's your website. That's your website. That's your website. That. All right. Now, what happens on your computer? If you have, say, a whole bunch of stuff open, you've got 3 movies playing, or you've got a movie playing, you've got a whole bunch of other stuff, all this stuff going on at once on your computer at home. Things start getting real slow and real choppy and real cruddy, right? Things start crashing here and there. It just doesn't work right. Well, that's the problem that you're going to run into with shared hosting. But because what shared hosting is it's basically you've got a folder for maybe hundreds, even thousands of different websites, and they're all just doing their own little thing. It is meant for the low man on the totem pole. This is basically hosting on training wheels. This is a good way to look at this. You have your hosting. Everybody's on there. All of a sudden, say your next door neighbor gets real popular. He gets featured on Lifehacker. Well, what happens? All of a sudden, you go in to do some stuff on your computer, and you can't get on. Oh crud! What's going on? Why can't I get on? You try again. You can't. You still can't. Oh no! You go to call up tech support, and they're going to go, well, we're aware of it and we're looking into it. Looks like we've got somebody who's really getting hammering the server right now, and we're getting the matter taken care of. Basically, what it means is they're going to take that web page down. They won't get rid of it, but they're going to take it down, and they're going to tell the guy, hey, we can't take your service right now. You're too big for this plan. And if you stick with podcasting, you will outgrow your plan. All right. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're going to outgrow your plan. And so you're going to want to upgrade. But at the time, shared hosting does great. Now, a lot of things that happen with shared hosting is, one, they tell you unlimited bandwidth, unlimited space. True to a point. Nothing is unlimited. One, because that hard drive will only hold so much. Yeah, they may have some monstrous hard drives. They may have a 20 terabyte rated drive. But if you put 21 terabytes on there, it ain't going to fit. So you ran out of room. You've hit that limit. You're going to get 20 terabytes. That's actually probably end up being just a little bit under 20 terabytes. Because you got to, you know, there's accommodate for room for the operating system and all that. So it's not, there's no way that you're going to have a full unlimited amount. Now, the reason they say unlimited is because very few websites out there are going to be 20 terabytes big. Now, I'm not saying there aren't. I think Google's got, you know, more than that. But at the same time, the more normal Joe Schmo, me and you, you and me aren't going to be able to hit that limit. But when you start throwing in media files, like MP3s, video, especially high definition videos, you're going to use up a whole lot more space because, you know, it's a bit for every pixel of a video. The more pixels, the more data, and the higher the frame rate, the faster those pixels move. So the bigger the picture is, the file size gets to be on that. Again, podcasting, you know, your sample rate and stuff, all that works together on how big of a file you have. Are you stereo or are you mono? Are you at 128 or are you at 64 kilobit? It just really depends on that, on how big your file size gets. Now, there's a couple good sites out there. Just to let you know, there are a couple out there. One, Site5. Site5 is actually the host I personally use. They are very accommodating. They will allow you to host your MP3s, your podcasts on their site. But just to let you know, there's going to be a point in there because they have a little deal called a resource meter. And when your resource meter, when you start using an excessive amount of resources, it starts pinging their system and it starts letting them know, hey, you've got someone here getting kind of popular. And when you have your MP3s on there, it takes more resources to push that out. And if you get more popular, and all of a sudden you get like 10,000 downloads, wow, you're going to have one heck of a spike right there. And that's not what you truly want to have. A big spike because one, yeah, it feels good. It really does. It feels good to the ego. You get a big old spike like that. You go, yeah, made it. All right. But usually I've gotten one spike on my site. One day I woke up and I had like 250 hits on the Finding Brian podcast, which is a podcast that I do about me trying to figure out where I went kind of wrong at, because I'm not where I want to be in life, and it's just basically become a kind of a audio diary and self-help podcast, which you can check out if you will like over at findingbrian.com. And that's Brian with a Y, just to let you know. That's findingbrian, BRYAN.com. And wow, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what in the heck. All right, yeah, we're off and we're running. It looks great. I mean, we just got all of a sudden out of nowhere got this big old rocket of hits, and I was excited, and I figured, you know, we're probably gonna ride this wave out for a week or so, and it'll just kind of die off, and we'll have several subscribers and really take. No, it was apparently after looking through my analytics and stuff, it looked like what had happened is someone had used me or had used an image that I had on my site as an example for something at a school. And so all these different hits came from a particular school. And so I was like, yeah, oh, I'm just a lesson of probably what not to do. So, but anyhow, it was really neat. And I happened to look over on the resource meter, and yeah, we climbed up there. I mean, it was a good ways up, but it wasn't enough to where it was going to trip anything. And so I really didn't hear from Site5, but at the same time, really got me wondering and really start kind of focusing on shared hosting. And Site5, very good, very, very, I would say almost say lenient. Now, I wouldn't recommend anybody to go out and abuse the system, but because I only have just three sites that I do podcasts, and one of them I host on Site5. Actually, two of them I host on both Finding Brian and the Hayseed Report. I both host on Site5. This one here, actually, I'm not. I've trying out. I'm using this one as an experiment. So. Which is actually kind of dangerous because it's a brand new one. But at the same time, I'm just, that's how I roll, man. That's how I roll. But another great shared hosting is Bluehost. Now, I'm sure you have heard a lot of people talk about Bluehost. Bluehost is great, but they really do frown upon you hosting your media on their sites. But it is nice because Bluehost, you're not going to have to worry about having some scum pornographer come along and use your scummy pornographer being on the same site as you, because they don't allow that type of stuff. So it's a kind of a family-oriented hosting site. Site 5, well, honestly, don't go out trying to look to see if sites are pornographic or anything along those lines. So I have no clue. But if they are, they don't affect my site at all, so I don't mind. Now, another type of hosting, say you've made it big. It's time for you to graduate to the next server. There's a couple different options you can do. One being the dedicated hosting. Now, what this means is basically, again, instead of having 1,000 of your friends all congregated together on one computer and you're having to fight for resources and stuff to be able to keep your site running smoothly, it's just you. You've got your own little computer, own little hard drive, and you're sitting right there. Now, the big drawback is, popcorn coming back to visit me, saying hi in a buttery flavor. And it comes back, dedicated servers come back in a weird way, in that you don't have to worry about what other people are doing, but you really start becoming an expert very quickly as to what constitutes bandwidth. You end up finding you want to keep yourself away from your site as much as you possibly can, because you're sucking data off of your pipeline, because they check, or a lot of their fees, besides for having, you know, like a setup fee and all these other things, which is a little bit more. But you also have metered bandwidth. So if you go, you may be set for 2 gigs. And if you go over 2 gigs of data being sent out, well, then you're going to be charged extra. So it's kind of a, hey, that's really cool. Oh, that's not nice at all. And so it can get around to being expensive, and you've got, like, most of the places that do shared hosting will do dedicated hosting also. And I'm not saying that all dedicated hosting is expensive, but it's a lot more than what shared hosting is. So unless you have the funds available to go off and do dedicated hosting, it's usually good to start out with shared. And by the time you get big enough to where you have to graduate out of shared into dedicated, you're probably already found some way of increasing the funds so that you can afford actually doing dedicated or one of the other two types of servers. Another type of server is actually the private server. Now, you don't hear many people talk about this, and this is something that you're not going to have very often. It's almost like a dedicated server, except this is your box. You've put this box together. You have your own operating system on there. You own everything on there except for the network that it's tied to. And a lot of times start with simple words, Brian, but you will be charged kind of a setup fee. A lot of times a private server is only something that, if you know someone who has a network, a data center or some place like that, and you're really good friends, it's just kind of one of those ways of going, hey, here you go. You can just connect up onto ours and we'll just charge you X amount for data. But you can also, there are some places, they're few and far between, that you can actually set up your own private server and pay a fee to be on that network. And that's basically what most of the money is too. is the data usage and the fact that you're plugging into their network. The drawback of this actual server is, though, you have to go through and make sure that you're in charge of all your security, okay? Which means if someone hacks into your server, run and destroys your data, your fault if you didn't back it up, okay? You're not going to be able to call tech support for the company. Go, yeah, my website is gone. It's missing. Could you restore that for me, please? They're going to say, why? We don't have anything of your data. That's your computer. You have access to everything. We don't have access to anything on it. And so you're basically going to be, you're the network operator. You're the main guy when it comes to the private server. So that one is usually only reserved for the really uber techie guys who know what they're doing and actually enjoy doing the really detailed security things and keeping the updates up to date and all that. Now, a hybrid between the dedicated hosting and the private server is called a virtual private server. Now, these are getting real big. You can actually get these just about at any hosting site also. What this is it's a different instances of a, almost like, what would be the best way to describe this? If you have Windows machine, or not Windows, you've got a Mac machine. I think they have a program on there because I'm a Windows guy. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Jump back. Hello. You've actually got someone who is a Windows user. I cannot stand Apple products because they're oversimplified. I want to do something and it's so simple that it's difficult to do something on in my opinion and everything I've tried to do. It's just like, oh my God. So, but, Windows, iOS has this, I believe it's called Parallel. And basically what it is, it's a virtual machine. And what you can do is you can actually open up a machine and run Windows inside of the Mac product, Apple product. And you can actually do the same thing. And it will just occupy a particular amount of memory as you run. And so you can run, say, your website, all your stuff in this one particular virtual space. And it will operate as if it was a private server, but you've got, again, you may have several hundred other people, but all the memory is, you've got the particular chunk of memory. So if your fund, or not funds, but your fees for the virtual private servers depends on how much memory you want to have, how much processing power you want to have, how much data you're going to be sending and receiving, and all these other things. So it'll operate smoothly or fairly smoothly, but you're not going to have as much of a worry as you would on a private server. Now, those are all different types of things to do if you're looking at a paid service. So why not use a free host? Say you're just now starting out. You don't know whether you really want to do the podcasting or not. It seems like something good. Yeah, you want to try to see if you can grow the business, but you know, you've kind of got that. Yeah, let's try this out. But you're at the same time, you're going, yeah, but I really haven't just really stuck to anything like this. I've got two blogs that I've let die off and everything else. Let's just do free hosting. Well, okay, you can. Now, I haven't looked around in a long, long while, but I used to go out and I used to create websites on free servers all of the time. I used to have this big old huge list of free servers and I would actually, all right, let's do this one. And I'd get it all set up and some of them were really good. They were fast. They were up all the time. They were great. And I had pages up there. I think I'm still, a couple of them might still actually be up and I'm still got my web page up on there. I mean, I was doing this back when there was Tripod and oh, what was that? Yahoo bottom up, something cities. Crud. But anyhow, those types where you could create your own little site and Tripod and Tri-Cities. I think it's Tri-Cities. But anyhow, they were both really well-known free hosting. And you could throw up just little simple HTML pages and stuff like that. Well, there also was PHP-based sites out, hosting sites that were free also. The problem with them back then, and I'm sure as they are now, is that if they're free, how are they getting their money? If they aren't putting ads up on your site, then more than likely they're not going to last very long, which causes a big problem for you because your host, your RSS feed and everything is going to be directed to that one site. And if that hosting service goes, oh, never mind, we're done, bye, shuts the windows, and doesn't even bother to tell you. And so these sites, they're going to just, well, turn around and just boop, be gone. Or you may end up having some sites that throw up very, very intrusive pop-up ads. Now, you remember these. You don't see these much around much anymore, but they've made a little bit of a return, a resurrection in the means of interstitial ads, the ones where as you're clicking from one page to another, all of a sudden this big ad drops out of nowhere, and you can continue out to the next site in 3, 2, 1, click OK, and you can close it up then. So on top of that, they're all basically, again, shared servers. So you've got to deal with other people who are doing rather devious acts, because a lot of times you get some hack sites that are going onto the free stuff. So you really are kind of in the nether regions of the internet when you're using the completely free. Now there are the free blogging sites. These are an okay workaround. I've actually gotten around to where if I was to have to do a free site, I would probably do it on Tumblr because they have the audio section. So you can post your your media ups on one site and link to it to your Tumblr site. And from there you can go. The only problem that you're going to see is that you do not control your RSS feed. So to do that, I would actually help the gal out who was running into the problem. She was trying to get a podcast going through Tumblr, and this is how I was able to find this out. And since you can't control the RSS, so if you decide from a year down the road, it's like, all right, well, I've been doing this religiously for a week. I know I'm going to keep on doing this. I enjoy it. Need to go ahead and get in my own domain. So you didn't even go that far. You didn't even get your own domain yet. Well, that way, if you're going through Feedburner and take your RSS feed out of Tumblr, throw it into Feedburner, and use the Feedburner to go to iTunes and everywhere else, at least you've got some semblance, and you've got a little bit of the iTunes stuff. The Feedburner, I'm having problems with. Google's really having issues. They're really causing me to lose trust with them because there's a lot of the stuff that I like to use is just is disappearing. I'm wondering, is Google dropping all services and going strictly to search and Android nowadays? Because, I mean, heck, we lost Google Reader. Google Reader's when it closed, actually killed something that all podcasters and bloggers use, and that's Google Alerts. Now you have to get them all through your email system, so now all of a sudden your email is just spam solid. And there's a lot of things happening, and I'm afraid that we've probably got about another year and a half, maybe 2 years of Feedburner left, and it's going to be bye-bye. It's probably going to be knocked out in one of the spring cleanings. But, well, I'll get into that. That'll be a topic for another show sometime down the road. But anyhow, but you can use like Tumblr, and it actually works pretty darn well. You can use like WordPress.com, but you're going to be really limited on one, your themes, and two, you're going to be limited on like plugins. So you're not going to be able to use the PowerPress plugin on WordPress.com, which is the best podcasting plugin that you can use. There's another one called PodPress. You want to stay away from it like the plague. You want to avoid it, and it comes up. You want to cross your fingers, give it the sign of the evil eye, hiss at it, and spit on your screen, run, scream in the opposite direction. Bad stuff. It's crud. And apparently, at one time, right before I started podcasting, it was the best thing to use. And the guy who developed it said, got tired of all the whiners going, well, this thing's just not working the way it needs to be working, blah, blah, blah. And obviously the developer got tired of the attitudes and was like, you know what, man, you don't like it. Well, guess what? I'm going to take my ball and go home and see how you like it. And all of a sudden people's sights started to break. So, and you can, I've heard people who are doing some podcasts through Blogger. I really haven't played that much with Blogger. Actually, I think that's probably one of the other sites that's probably fixing to go bye-bye. Because I just don't really know that many people who are using Blogger anymore. But I would say either way, you're putting yourself in a very, very, very limited position if you go through one of the free blogging sites. And to alleviate that, or at least to kind of give you a bit of a wiggle room and a way out, use FeedBurner or a FeedBurner like product until it closes. Now, that talks about our website. We got our website, where we're going to place our website. That's the home for our website. That is our home spot. That is where, whenever you're online, you're talking about your podcast, you're always pointing people to your website. Your website, your domain name, all one and the same. Now, what do you want to do? Where are you going to put your podcast? Well, Site5, like I said, you can, if you're hosting on Site5, you can put them on, put your podcast on that domain, on that, on your place or where you're being hosted at. But you want to be careful, because if you make them mad, guess who doesn't have a website anymore? That's right. You, we don't want that. You want to keep your website. So you want to put your media someplace else. That would be in a media host. Now, there's quite a few. There's Libsyn, who is basically the big dog. They've got the most, they've been hosting since, I believe, 2004, a long, long time to be hosting podcasts. They suffered through the drought because, you know, remember back in 2003 or so, people were starting really getting into podcasting. 5, 6, 7, 8, and then poof, podcasting really started to dry up. It kind of cleared out. No one was really doing that much podcasting until about 2010 or 2011, and it started to really kind of pick up again, and people were like, hey, let's try this once more. Kind of cleared out the riffraff, and the more dedicated people hung in, and so you've got the new riffraff growing in, so like me, but I'm not drying up. I'm having too much fun with this. For it to dry up. Okay, sorry about that. All right, now lost my train of thought on that one. Where was I going? Anyhow, Libsyn. I know that's one of the things I was talking about at the moment. So, but Libsyn, great company. They, like I said, they've been around since 2004, if I'm thinking right, and they developed this company with podcasters in mind. And so they have it set up really cool way where you're limited on the number of uploads by the size. All right. So, but that size is only contingent upon each month. So if you've got 10 gigs, which is really freaking huge. Oh, well, let's drop that down. Say 50 megs or, well, let's say a gig. All right. Just to be, keep it around and say your site, you decide to do, several shows. Well, let's say 250 megs, size, which I think that's one of their packages. So you'd be able to get five shows a month in, because shows are typically, you know, around about 50 megs is a good rule of thumb as the size. Now, some are bigger, some are smaller. Depends on how long you talk or what size and what quality of audio you use and things along those lines. But say if you ended up having using 200 megs of data and the next month came along, the 30 days from the first podcast, that 50 megs would actually come back. So you could actually throw another one on there. It's kind of a rotating limit. So 30 days from the last upload, or from the first upload of that section, is how it's going to depend on the amount that you can upload. Another one is Blueberry, and it works very much the same way. Prices are just a little bit different, but Blueberry is actually, if you're someone who is a lot fairly nervous about technology and you don't know a lot of the intricate details that we're going to get to down the road, then Blueberry is probably going to be your better bet. Costs a little bit more, but you're actually paying more for user friendliness. So great. Both of those are great, but those are both paid. Now, you've got other ones out there that are also paid, but they're not quite as dependable. And you've got several out there that are free also and are very much less dependable, and also at the time that sometimes can really just not be too whiner. Podbean being one, Blog Talk Radio being another one. You really don't want to use those because you're not getting your data back at all. You're not going to be able to get your shows back. And if you decide you do want to go ahead and have your own domain, those shows there, they're permanently part of, say, Blog Talk Radio. You don't get those back. You can put up a deal saying, hey there, listeners, I have moved myself over to, blah, 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 .com. If you would like to continue listening to getting my shows, you can go to blah, 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 .com. And subscribe, and we will, you can still hear my lovely chirpy voice, or something along those lines. So you've got lots to be leery of when it comes to free hosting. Now, in that same breath, I will say archive.org is a great free site. If you have to have, you cannot afford, you do not have a dime left in your budget to do Libsyn or Blueberry, say $5 a month is just a difference between whether you're going to eat a day or not, or going to go between whether or not your kids are going to eat a day or not, then okay, don't take the food out of the kids' mouths. Try archive.org. They have a little bit different way of doing it. They do accept what's called a byte range request, which is something that iTunes itself really likes to have. That way they can go, hey, we need only the first, 10 minutes of data. And so your hosting service will go, okay, well, here you go. Or say, I need from minute 10 to minute 15, your hosting service, in this case, archive.org, will go, oh, well, sure, we can get that little section right there to you. And it's meant for streaming. But the drawback that you have with archive.org is it's permanent. You screw up on a deal, you call, say you're calling somebody by the wrong name through the whole thing, you go, oh gosh, I'm going to have to redo that. If you do through just the browser upload, you're kind of hosed. You can change it though if you go through their FTP site though. And I've figured that out, because that's one of the reasons why I'm going through archive.org right now. I'm trying their stuff out a little bit, playing it kind of loose right there. Just see what happens. I'm curious as to find out what's going on with this. So, but anyhow, from what I've been able to find out with archive.org, it's fairly good. It's not screaming fast on the downloads, but If you do your times at a decent time, most people will be able to get your 50 meg file in a respectable amount of time, as long as they hook it up and are waiting, and say they turn their iTunes on at midnight and go to bed. By the time they got up in the morning, they could sync up their phone or whatever. Now, you're going, you still sync your phone? We'll get into that. That'll be another topic down the road. So, but there is that option. There is a good option that is free. And I actually think they're probably going to be around for a little while. I don't know if they're actually a part of National Archives or not. But I think that they're, there's something in there where they're able to, they're getting some type of government kickback as a means to being able to help keep open. Now, I could be wrong. And if I am, please let me know. So anyhow, you want to have your hosting. Because remember folks, hosting is home. They say home is where the heart is, right? Well, hosting is where your website's heart is. That is the heart of your website. That is the main spot that you're going to be always looking. You're always going to be looking at your statistics, your stats and stuff. Your analytics are all going to be dependent upon who's hitting your host server. And you're going to want to find, you're going to start finding out that you're really curious about, well, what's causing this? And you're going to hear stuff and you're going to be wondering, well, what's all these, that, these and those. And guess what, folks? We're going to be walking you through those in the following weeks. So media is good. You want that media. Well, you are now the media, as many people will attest to saying. You've got to have a host for your media. You got to have a host for your website. And so really sit down and plan and try to come up with a budget. You don't want to go full free, because nothing in life is truly free. You understand that. You're giving up something, whether it's time, whether it is ease of use, something, if it is quote unquote free. But you can also get really uber flashy and have a whole bunch of bells and whistles that you're not ever going to care about having. And so you want to find that happy medium. You want to try to go as lean as possible and still have everything that you're going to possibly, everything that you need at that moment. And that's where you have to sit down and really start kind of putting a little bit of thought behind who you're hosting and how you're going to host, how you're going to do your hosting and who you're going to do your hosting with. I'll get it right here. So think about that, for this week, and we will, and next week we'll be talking, actually going through and, talking more equipment wise. And again, why you don't want to have to go as expensive as possible, and you don't want to do free either, because going bargain basement cheap shows every time, because you realize everybody looks down on those in the bargain basement. So, but anyhow, now tip of the week. What is the tip of the week for this week? Well, that one, actually, this is going to be where the tough part is, because I can throw around a whole bunch of different tips, but I'm honestly sitting there trying to figure out what would be the best bet. And I've got it figured out, because it actually is centering around your media files, because you can actually take, you can transfer stuff over from one, say for whatever reason, you've been doing your show for 35 years now, and you in your late 80s keeled over. You started a show in your 50s, and now you're in your 80s, and you keeled over just because, well, you're 80 years old, and you stepped on your rubber ducky, and so you've passed. Now, what is going to happen to your website? What is going to happen to your podcast? What is going to happen to those blood, sweat, tears, late nights, hair pulling out, trying to figure out, what am I going to do for this week? I'm supposed to turn the mic on and do in 1 hour, and I don't know what I'm talking about yet. Well, actually, I would say use a free blogging software for your show notes. Use it as a backup. Now, something like Tumblr, you can actually make your website private. You can make your blog private. So, and just keep it closed. And then on top of having everything over at, over on Libsyn or Blueberry or whatever other, host you choose, put another copy of it in Archive. Use archive.org and link that to your free blogging software. Blogging site, because what will happen is if you keel over, That way your site is going to stay up until that site just closes. And then after that, well, then that was just because nothing cool was coming out or whatever it is that you think you come across something that it looks even better, then go to that. But I can pretty much guarantee, I'm pretty sure that archive is going to be around for a while, especially with, since it's had that Wayback Machine for quite some time now. But that way your MP3 files will always be available. It will be part of, you know, the archive. People can come and garnish those beautiful little nuggets of wisdom and learn from what the old timers, how they used to talk into these weird cylinder looking things called microphones and used to record their stuff on little, what do they call them? SD cards, which I guess means small device card, something. And so, but your podcast will have a chance to continue living on even after you pass. So always have a backup. You've heard that mantra also. Always have a backup. Always have a backup of the backup of the backup. Well, one of the backups should be a like Tumblr archive combination. So have that sitting in the back of your head. That's not anything you have to do today or tomorrow, but just know that if you do it while you're young, it's easier to do than trying to do it at the very last minute, right before you keel over. All right. So anyhow. All right. Well, folks, I do appreciate you very much for coming by, having a listen, sitting down, enjoying what I had to say on this third episode. I mean, we're cruising right along. We're getting it hammered out, so to speak. And I'm glad that you have come to me to see what I have to say about this. Cause I know there's more than enough podcasters about podcasting from Rob Walsh and his podcast War 1-1, which is, from what I understand, the first podcast about podcasting that ever was podcasted about. To Cliff Ravenscraft, incredibly popular podcast answer man, Dave Jackson's hit podcast, School of Podcasting, and the great Daniel J. Lewis, DJL's Audacity to Podcast, and Ray Ortega and his podcast about podcasting, and even his podcast that has a round table discussion containing a whole bunch of podcasters, and many of them are podcasters who do podcast about podcasts. Wow. I wish I was able to do transcripts do my own transcript, because boy, that's a lot of podcast. So, but anyhow, folks, I want to thank you. If you have any questions, you want to check out any of the links that I put, and especially like the links to Site5 or Bluehost. Those are my, affiliate links, and if you stop by and hit those up, you'll help me out. You'll give me a little bit of a boost when it comes to actually doing my hosting, because I am kind of wanting to look at doing dedicated hosting a little further down the road. And so that would, like I said, that would help me out. And you can also check out and see what some of the other links that I threw up on there. I give you links over to Archive and Libsyn and Blueberry. And you can check out some of the other two shows, because we still have episode 2 and episode 1 that were out, and they're still getting some nice little bits of traction too. So, but if you have a question that you would like for me to read aloud and answer live on the show here, well, it's not live since it's recorded beforehand, but you know what I mean. Here on the podcast, on the show, I would be more than happy to just send your email to brian@podcastdojo.com, and I will be happy to read and see what I can do on helping you out. If you'd like to be able to get first updates as to, hey, something's going on, what's coming out, are there any new products that are coming about, if you want to be the first one to know about the new latest episode, head on over to the mailing list, or over to podcastdojo.com, and over on the right hand side you see a big old long red button that says subscribe now. That's actually our mailing list. And with that, you'll be able to get the heads up as to cool things that are going on. So please jump on over and sign up on the mailing list, and you'll be in the know. If you like the show, please stop by iTunes. You can go to podcastdojo.com/iTunes or /review. Either one will get you over to the same place, because yes, we are on iTunes. Yeah. Get you all excited. Oh, it's iTunes. Okay. But yes, we are over on iTunes. We're not up on Stitcher quite yet. I haven't received a notice back from them, but I'm sure it probably will be coming about here anytime soon. But as of right now, we are on iTunes. You can find us there. Give us some stars. Let us know what you thought. Leave us a review. The reviews will help other people find us and be able to help this community grow and become absolutely amazing. So, folks, I'm going to say goodbye to you for this week. And I think I've come up with my closing line, my tagline, if you will. And say, because, you know, everybody's got their own little taglines. You know, Ray Ortega's do a podcast or two. Well, it used to be, now it's, he changed it up here just recently. I forget what it was. But anyhow, let's try. And if you like it, please let me know in the show notes. Now, tell the world who you are. I kind of like that. I've been playing around with that for a while. And I think just, now go tell the world who you are. Really expresses who you are. And what podcasting is about, because you're telling the world, this is who I am, this is why I like this particular topic. And so, as I said, I thank y'all very much for listening. See y'all next week. Now, go tell the world who you are.
Hey Rolling Podcast Network. Hey Rolling Podcast.